me back, don't cut it off, whatever you do. I need it to run my fingers through, cause you're my baby, uh-huh. You're my sugar, don't mean maybe, you're my baby. Got me a dollar that I saved, saved it up for a rainy day. Everybody's calling for bills that's due. If they don't catch me, I'll spend it on you, cause you're my baby, uh-huh. You're my sugar, don't mean maybe, you're my baby. Guitar, got six strings and a pick to make them ring. Every string's got a note or two that I'm gonna use to serenade you. Cause you're my baby, uh-huh. You're my sugar, don't mean maybe, you're my baby. I had me a gal, she said she's mine, but she run around on me all the time. Now she's gone and I'm glad we're through, cause I'm plumb flipped over you. And you're my baby, uh-huh. You're my sugar, don't mean maybe, you're my baby.
Off of Sun Records, You're My Baby, and before that, Devil Doll. We were talking to Sonny and Bobby and Kern about Roy and how Roy used to tour with them. Well, toured with them a couple times, I guess, and was singing background vocals on Find My Baby for Me, and you could hear Roy's voice cutting through there. And we were just talking off the air about what a nice guy Roy Orbison was, and you guys played with Carl Perkins too, right?
Yep, yeah. Did a lot of shows with Carl.
And what kind of a guy was Carl?
Carl was one of the nice guys in the business. I thought he was really good. I always thought Carl was more black. I tried to say Elvis, but Elvis really did, to me, didn't sound black. Carl, when his early recordings sounded like a black blues player.
Yeah.
If you notice the tempos and everything in his guitar playing.
What Carl had that Elvis didn't have, too, is the ability to write good songs. I mean, Elvis never even... I think he wrote like one or two songs in his whole life, but I mean, you know, he didn't even try to write. But Carl was a great writer.
Yeah, too. He was.
He wrote
Blue Suede Shoes.
He sure did.
Matchbox, which everybody in the world recorded, including Fred Douglas.
what was the first recording session at Sun like? Do you remember going in there? You guys must have been so excited that you were finally getting a chance to lay down a record. Was the first time you ever went in a recording studio, Son, or had you cut anything before your
No, that was the first time I've ever been in a studio. We were walking on air. I'll let you, Kern, tell you a little bit about it.
Well, it's sort of like organized mayhem. You play for Sam Phillips. You have to show the kind of enthusiasm if you had 10,000 people out there in front of you, and that's what he expected, and nothing less than that. And that's the way we tried to play. We did those records like we were doing a stage show, and just as much enthusiasm as we could put into it.
And what was the original band that went into the studio? It consisted of Kern?
Well, that myself Sonny. And Sonny, Joe Lewis on rhythm guitar, Jack Nance on trumpet, Russ Smith on drums.
Now I read
John Ray Hubbard.
And John Ray Hubbard on bass, yeah.
I read that the reason why Nance was playing, you actually wanted a sax player, but Nance's instrument was the trumpet. So you were like, well, that's going to be a different sound. Is that true?
No. No, his original, he actually was a music major in college, and he was teaching music there at Newport High School at home. But everybody around us had a saxophone player,
mm-hmm.
Harold Jenkins, who became Conway
Twitty.
Okay. But Jack didn't own he owned an old trumpet. So a trumpet, I said, that sounds good, because he could play that thing loud. He wasn't a real good trumpet player, mm-hmm. but you could play it loud, and he was a great showman.
Oh, great showman.
Women loved him, so, yeah, you know, and it really turned out it's the best thing we could ever had.
It's definitely, I mean, what other rockabilly R&B band had a trumpet player?
Yeah, it'd give us that different edge there.
And talking about Joe, see, Joe, Johnny Ray bought an electric bass in 56. Couldn't play it. He was still playing the doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe started playing electric bass for us. So we had the two basses.
Oh.
But Joe was a fine musician, too. He wound up playing electric bass for Conway Twitty later on.
Right.
And Jack played drums. Jack was actually a drummer.
Jack Nance was a drummer?
Jack Nance was a good drummer.
When Russ Smith left us, Jack took over drums and a fine drummer. Great
when
drummer.
Him and Joe got the Conway off, Harold Jenkins offered a job and took him to Canada. But yeah, he was a fine drummer.
You guys are more R&B oriented than your average, you know, country rockabilly group of the time. So where did the R&B influence come from?
I like that type music, like Jimmy Reed, Big Joe Turner. Yeah, I thought that was the greatest dance music in the world, and still is for that matter. So that's where we really got influenced.
You incorporated that type of rhythm into your rhythm because you wanted to create that kind of dance music, apply it to
create
rockabilly.
That type of sound.
And Sam was on board with that?
Sam didn't really. Sam only did the first session, which was Redhead One, We Want a Boogie. From then on, Jack Clements did everything that we did at Sun.
Because, you know, we've talked about this on the air before about how you guys were one of the reasons why, you know, you probably didn't score a huge hit with any of your. Because all your stuff, it should have been hits. It should have all been hits. But.
Well, that's mighty kind of you.
We appreciate that, Matt. Thank you so much.
But the thing is, you were a little too R&B for country stations. You were a little too country for R&B stations. And so you guys were left in this netherland in the middle, and Sam didn't know what to do with you.
Well, that's what Sam says. That's what he says. That.
Did you feel that way at the time? You didn't, right? Because it was happening at the time.
I thought we were the best band in the world. I still believe that. Like I said, we walked on stage. We swaggered on that stage. We didn't walk on it. We took over that stage with the original Pacers. In other words, we thought we were the best. If you outdone us, you had to do something really, really different.
Mm.
It always burned Warren Smith up. We did a ton of. He was on all these tours.
I love Warren Smith.
He wasn't the best personality in the world. He wasn't a lovable type guy.
But he recorded some good stuff.
Oh, he's a great singer. Yeah. He should have been country.
Yeah, he's a great country singer.
But the thing of it was, he hated us because he never could top us. You know, in other words, we'd go out there and blow him away.
Well, Warren would always want to come on behind us, and that was a sad mistake for him.
Tell you what we did. We went on stage in 1956 for a tour, and we started in Little Rock. We had Ray Price, Marty Robbins, Maddox Brothers and Rose, and us. We opened a show for them. That we should have. They were all big stars. When we went to Memphis, the next week we did the same show, went to Memphis, Ellis Auditorium. They made us go on last. We were that hot. And Marty had Ray Price. Nobody better than Ray Price. To me, see, I loved Ray Price.
Sure. And they were established guys.
Oh, yeah.
They had big hits out.
And you were going on last. That's amazing.
Because that same thing happened to Elvis. You know, that's what happened. When he was, Bob Neal was managing, he was opening for Hank Snow. and Hank was a huge star.
Yeah, sure.
And they'd go on these deals, and it got so that after Elvis do his show, half of the crowd would leave, or they'd start hollering, "Bring Elvis back."
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hank didn't like that too
So after Redheaded Woman and We Want a Boogie, one of the greatest double-sided singles of all time, came out, it's been unleashed on the world. You found out 40 years later that it was a number one hit in Boston of all markets. Redheaded Woman was a huge hit in Boston, and you guys are in Arkansas, Memphis. You had no idea it was burning up the charts in the Northeast.
Not the least, and the funny part, I don't know whether Sam and them knew it or not. They never told us. But how we found out about it, Jack Nance, after Twitty broke up the rock and roll band, Jack went with Dick Clark. And he was doing these tours with Paul Revere and the Raiders, the Jackson Five. He was a road manager for Dick Clark's acts. And then he went to work for Dionne Warwick. And they were in Boston. She was doing a concert, and Jack backstage, and this guy come up. He said something about, you know, conversation. Where are you from? Jack said, Newport, Arkansas. Newport, Arkansas. Said, so there's some guy down there did a song called Redheaded Woman. Jack said, yeah, I was part of that band. he said, well, number one up here, y'all. That's when we knew it. That's 40 years later.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Now, if you listen to, if you're moving through your catalog, by the way, there's a great disc the Bear Family of Germany put out. It's a 2-CD set, and it's got outtakes, it's got dubbed versions, undubbed versions, master takes of most of your Sun stuff. You said, you know, they claim it's everything. You say that there was more stuff, but it was erased. So yeah, so that's all that's out. What this set collects is all the stuff that's actually out there. But
as far as Bear Family knows,
yeah,
and as far as we know.
But who knows, right?
There could,
they might, maybe someday the Holy Grail of Sonny Burgess tracks will be uncovered.
That's right.
In a
after
vault
we're
somewhere.
Dead and gone, and all of a sudden it's a million seller. Yeah. You know,
you're right. No, the luck we have.
And you know, actually, Redhead Woman and We Want to Boogie, and probably Ain't Got a Thing, have sold over a million records by now.
By now,
because they've been released and re-released. On every compilation album you ever see,
sure,
they're on there.
Well, on a personal note, I'll tell you, I discovered We Want a Boogie on a Sun Rockabilly compilation years ago. And when I heard it for the first time, I was absolutely blown away because it sounded so different than all the other stuff on the Sun set. I mean, I knew all the Carl Perkins and Jerry Lee and Warren Smith. All of a sudden, this guy, Sonny Burgess, you know, the song I'd never heard before comes on. And it just blew me away because of the energy, the speed of the record, and then the trumpet kicks in. Who has a trumpet in rockabilly? And I've been a fan ever since that day. And I actually found an original Sun 45 of We Want a Boogie and Redheaded Woman. I thank you very much for signing it for me. But so you know, I just think it's great. But what I was gonna say about the about going through your catalog and listening to each song, you come upon two songs as you're going down the tracks you recorded that sound different. And I think it's Joe Lewis singing vocals. Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
On All Night Long and Life's Too Short to Live.
That's it.
Now, what happened there? Why was he taking over vocals on those tracks?
We just had to have something recorded. We'd go to Memphis, the Sun record they'd call. See, we didn't stay over there. If we had a Kern, probably Russ, had plenty of good guitar players. Always plenty of good guitar players. But Kern and Russ would have probably played on a lot of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Jack on the trumpet.
They could have made some extra cash.
Yeah, well, not lots of cash. There's a story to that, too. Anyway, all the time we'd go to Memphis, when they'd call and say, you need to come over and cut some stuff. We'd need another release. So that's why, and we'd do, that's why I said, no, we probably cut, what, Kern, 100 and something sides.
Yeah.
We'd go in there and say, hey, we've been playing this one, you know, and the crowd really likes it.
Yeah.
That's where Sadie's Back in Town come from, was the thing we did in the clubs.
And we're going to play Sadie's Back in Town later on, but what I want to play is one of these tracks here with Joe singing lead vocal.
Okay.
Let's play Life's Too Short to Live. Sonny Burgess and the Pacers.
Step back, cats, and give us some room, cause this boogie's gonna drive me crazy, cause life's too short to wait. Well, you be the queen, I be the king, they ain't no cat, just have this game, cause this boogie's gonna drive me crazy, cause life's too short to wait. Well, let's go!
Hey! marching all the rhythm in her feet. She's my rock and roll Ruby, rock and roll, rock and roll Ruby, rock and roll. When Ruby starts to rock and for it satisfies my soul. Now Ruby started rocking about 1 o'clock, and when she started rocking, she just couldn't stop. She rocked on the tables and rolled on the floor, with everybody yelling, Ruby, rock some more. She's my rock and roll Ruby. Rock and roll, rock and roll, Ruby, rock and roll. When Ruby starts to rockin', boy, it satisfies my soul. Rock a little bit more. She's my rock and roll Ruby. Rock and roll, rock and roll Ruby. Rock and roll. When Ruby starts to rock and pour it satisfies my soul. Cause your Ruby wants to rock. She's my rock and roll Ruby. Rock and roll, rock and roll Ruby. Rock and roll. When Ruby starts to rock and pour, it satisfies my soul. Rock, rock, rock and roll. Rock, rock, rock.